Jack and Jill here.
Hi.
Welcome to the Jack Jill Show, entertaining real estate investment talk. I'm Jack Butella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from sunny Southern California.
Today, Jill and I talk about grown-up office space. Is there such a thing? We'll find out.
How we got here is ridiculous. That is the only thing.
We got here is ridiculous?
No. Not how we got here physically or this, but I'm just saying how we got to our most recent version of grown-up office space is ridiculous, and I'm going to leave it at that. I've even voiced it. I don't rant like this, but man, I even put it on social media. I was ticked off. So, and I don't usually do that. So I've got that out of my system now. So now we can have the show. Thank you, Jack.
Before we get into Jill's rant, Jill's controlled rant. I will make it a funny rant. I always do.
Thank you.
Comedic relief. Let's take a question posted by one of our members on the jackjill.com online community. It's free.
Okay. Angela asks, I'm looking at a mailer in Arizona, still in the practice phase of buying cheap desert land, trying to go into more detail about pricing lands that look like they have more potential near attractive features. So how would I go about evaluating a piece of land that is near other houses? What about near a mobile home lot with no trailer on it? I know a person would get more for this land, closer to all the utilities. Also, if I go up in elevation, would people pay more? Closer to a main road or an interesting tourist attraction, for instance, close to a national forest? Do I look for similar properties on LandWatch and use our basic formula to decide what to offer? I'm afraid if I just blast a set number, we'll get nothing back because my new area I'm sending mail looks to be a bit more diverse. Any ideas in advance? Thanks, Angela.
Excellent question, Angela. Mm-hmm. That's the reason that I chose to include it. You're overthinking this.
Sorry.
Oh, okay. With houses, you need to spend a week pricing a mailer. Exactly how you're doing it and thinking it. And so if you're asking about houses anywhere, really, you would not be overthinking this. But with rural vacant land, no one lives on it. It's a long gone thought in their head. In fact, it's just more of a pain in the butt. All they need is an offer from you for $500, $1,000, $1,200, some number. Am I saying you can offer $10 and get a response? Not at all. And I am a little bit oversimplifying, but the difference between a tiny little property next to two mobile homes in northern Arizona and a 40-acre property in the mind of its owner, who lives in Massachusetts, and really it was this deceased mom's and now the daughter has it, there is no difference, and the price doesn't matter. So I say shotgun approach with the specific product type.
This is,
and it's not, I'm not guessing. I've done it both ways, and you do not want to crisscross pricing on desert property like this.
Well, it seems like part of it is that it means that she's going to go taking a step backwards and going a little bit the wrong direction. If you're looking for property, like a specific property, instead of like what you just said, Jack, just go for it. Now, once you have these properties, I mean, here's how I see it. You need to think of these all as a line item, and I only know this because you taught me this, Jack, and that's your term. Think of them all as a spreadsheet and a line item. I mean, you just have to see them like that. Until the moment that you're posting them, and then you want to make them look unique and stand out, and when you're posting these properties for sale and you're writing a description, hey, bring it out. That's where you want to go. Look at this. Gosh, at this elevation, it's just, the air's so clear. Who knows? You can add little things like that.
You're right.
That's perfect.
You nailed it.
Thank you. So I get one or two now and then. So
the reason that these people who own these properties that you're specifically referring to, that they own the properties is not because they generally sought out to buy them. They ended up with them somehow, and they just want to get rid of them, or they just want to keep them. But it's really nothing generally in between. They're not going to sit around and say, well, this property, some of them might, this property is right next to this mobile home park and it's worth X, or it's right down the street from this truck stop. Or it's over here.
It's true.
The ones who sign the offers and call back and say, yeah, I really want to do the deal, they're going to say some version of, where have you been my life, my whole life? I'm really interested in getting rid of this. And whatever the price is, Jill and I literally at any given time are doing 10 to 15 properties where the people just said, whatever it takes, just let me know, I'll sign it. I do not want to own this property any longer. I'm really not interested in getting another tax bill. My husband bought it 42 years ago, and we don't care anymore. So, and thanks, by the way.
I have a question, Jack. This is what in your life, like, look around the studio, think about the garage, think about our home. What is it that you would just love someone to walk up and make an offer on? We always have something.
Yeah, we have a...
Besides me.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm just kidding.
Oh, love.
Thank you.
We have a...
Or a child.
Yeah, that's one.
There we go.
We have a storage unit full of crap that I would just give away right now.
There you go.
There's a bunch of fishing equipment that I would give away. And it's actually only because I want different, better stuff.
Isn't that interesting? There's always something that you just want someone to make an offer on.
Sports equipment. Yeah, so if somebody walked up, sent me a letter and said, I'll give you, for $100, I'll buy all the fishing equipment you want to get rid of.
You would hand it to them, wouldn't you?
I would sign it and send it back.
Right. Thank you.
There's a bunch of real estate that I own that I would do that as a seller.
Yep.
Because it just doesn't sell the way I think it should.
Do you know,
it's posting anymore.
Dude, you know we should do that? I got to say this real quick. We get all kinds of offers from our own members for property that we own. And I love it when I see these offers come in. You know what? I'm gonna start looking at them. Yeah, I'm going to start signing them, sending them back and going, you know what? I really will sell this to you for your price. You get an A for effort. And
oh, my gosh.
But I'm not closing the deal.
Yeah, you got to do the whole thing.
I'm going to say, you close a deal, I will sell it to you at this price. I'm going to start doing that. That'd be hilarious. And they don't know it's us because we have so many different LLCs out there rolling around.
Oh, sure.
They're different names.
Right.
They're not the, you know, if they really looked at the address, they'd figure it out. It's funny.
Yesterday, we talked about smart people and technical people who get it. And Angela, I'm telling you, you are one of those people.
Yeah.
And your level of a pricing analysis... You should move straight to House Academy because there are a lot of people. Here's exactly what you do not want to do when you buy houses. You do not want to do what I just described. Oh, just send them a letter. They don't care. People care about their houses. They don't care about their land at all. Now, they know they have something of value if they own a house.
Right.
But they do take into consideration in a big, huge way, convenience. So Jill and I are buying multiple houses right now from people who have accepted the fact that our prices are probably $40,000 to $50,000 less than their actual retail value. But they like Jill. They like the people that are involved in our organization. And they do not want to go through listing it with an agent and the whole thing. So there's a convenience factor. And those properties need to be priced correctly and they need to be Angela priced correctly here.
Right.
You can't send an offer for a $400,000 retail value house for $300,000.
Bingo.
You're going to waste money and time. But you sure can sell it for, send it for $360,000, $370,000, $380,000, or whatever it ends up being in that neighborhood after you go through the whole analysis. So pricing, the reason I'm spending so much time on this, probably to the point of nausea for some people.
Yes.
Pricing is everything, and it's impossible if you're brand new to know which is which. So I'm trying to help in my boring, weird way.
Thank you, Jack.
Today's topic, grown-up office space. This is the meat of the show, and it's Jill's chance to rant.
No, I don't have a rant anymore. I got it out. It's out of my system now. It's done. It's over. I have moved on. Seriously. We are about to move in. Everything's good. It's just comical. So
here's my theory very quickly, and then Jill's going to get into it. Everybody has this thing in the back of their head that signifies some version of success. For young men, it's like usually a Ferrari or some car. For people like me, it's a house on the ocean, or there's some version of that. Or maybe it's like a spouse that looks a certain way, like she's out of a magazine or he's out of a magazine.
Trophy wife.
I'm here to tell you that half obsession that you have about defining success that way, for some people named Jill, it's grown-up office space. Can't sink the ship. That is my point here. And I say this from
experience. Sounds like you're throwing me under the bus.
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Because I have more, way more hang-ups about this kind of stuff than you do.
Oh, well, I appreciate
that. So I think that, and correct me if I'm wrong, and I'm not criticizing you, not even 1%, Joe. I think that you had a version of what office space should look like in your head, probably built up with television shows and stuff your whole life.
You know, I have to say something. In my defense, though, I don't need a what's it called, a Class A space where it's all gorgeous and new and environmentally sound, and it's, instead of trash, it's compost in the coffee room. You know what I mean? I don't have that. So, but I also have some standards.
What, that's pointed at me.
What it should look like. So, you know, it's so interesting, Jack, because you're right. There's things that that's where we differ. Isn't that funny? You're like, yeah, whatever. Does it work? Does it run? Sure, fine. And it's totally good. I'm like, okay, that's disgusting. I will not sit there and I will not touch that. And again, my standards are not that high. They're not super high. I'm not like Howard Hughes, you know, walking around with sanitizer crazy. But I mean, I'm not going to get sick. I don't want to get hepatitis.
Office hepatitis. It's hepatitis O.
Sitting at a table in a conference room that hasn't been cleaned in 4 years. So I will not do that. So just have to defend myself a tad here. So anyway, back to grown-up office space. You know, that is something that is a little bit important to me. And I am one of those people that, even though in my current staff and my current office, we don't see customers at all. None. There's no signage. Mm-mm. There's no signage. There's nothing.
Full blown back office situation.
But I do require a dress code. I do still believe, because I can feel it in myself. I know that when I wear certain things, I dress up a certain way, I carry myself differently, I act differently, I feel differently. So I do require my staff to do that. We could wear shorts and flip-flops all day long, every day, but I don't let people do that. I do that at home in my home office, but that's my, you know, whatever, but still. And then in my office, I still feel like if you have a professional environment, it's going to make you react differently.
So here's what's happened, cutting to the chase.
Okay.
Here's what happened. Jill and I outgrew our office space. And up till now, both in Arizona and in California, we've had an office share situation, with few exceptions, where, you know, it's one of these, it's like Regis, but not Regis. It's somebody bought it, or leasing a master lease, 20,000-30,000 square feet. They put a bunch of offices in there and they sublease it. And you don't really sign a lease. You just sign an agreement. You pay every month and it's expensive. But the furniture's there and the Wi-Fi's free or included and electricity. So it's really open up your laptop and get to work. And as you expand or contract with people, that's what happens. So, and this has been working great for me for a lot of years. Mm-hmm. Am I saving any money? No. And a lot of people would argue buy an office building, which I did, which is a total and complete disaster. And I'll get to that in a minute, a long time ago. So the culmination of all these experiences has led me to, I just have a disdain for office space. The cheaper, the better. I just want to make a truck ton of money. And if I have to do it in a closet and work in a closet, then that's fine with me. Well, my business partner, who's also the person that I'm sleeping with, had a different idea.
I don't want to get hepatitis in the office.
I didn't know about this until recently, so we had a little adventure. Here's what happened. Jill found perfect office space for us. My hat's off to you. At the right price, in the right building, and in the right location. And I said, oh my gosh, I've been wrong all these years. I do want to do this deal. And then the tragedy happened. Go ahead, yes. Jill, take it from here.
Oh, the tragedy that's called, it starts with a B and ends with an R.
Roker?
Yes. Well, and I have to say that too. even the it was a sublease situation, and the person that was subleasing it knows nothing about real estate, nor do I am I really confident they know a lot about business, because
before you get into this, I want to set it up like this.
Okay, go ahead.
We're the perfect tenant. We have truck tons of money.
Yes.
We look perfect on paper.
Correct.
And we're ready to move in today.
And we're easy. I'm not going to say clean this.
Hold on. The subtenant, horrific tenant, back on rent. The building owner couldn't wait to have us move in. Mm-hmm. So you're asking yourself, what could go wrong?
Right.
Here's what went wrong. An egotistical, crazy broker.
Yep.
I refuse to do dual agency. Mm-hmm. I refuse to check that box. I refuse to be represented by a real estate agent ever. I refuse. What else? There's couple of things where we just said, you know what? It's not really any material issue.
Personal guarantee.
Yeah. So we're not going to do a personal guarantee. These companies are total credible companies with huge bank balances. Mm-hmm. They got past that. They couldn't get past that dual agency.
That was the one thing that held up the whole thing, and he killed the deal because of it.
That guy, like a teenage girl, was offended by that sentence.
Exactly.
And so he killed the deal.
He did.
So this has been my experience my whole life with Office Space. Mm-hmm. The people that are in that business, for whatever reason, and don't take my word for it, just talk to anybody in real estate, anywhere, have some type of egotistical problem.
It's really weird.
And it doesn't stop there. It gets way worse. So, unfortunately, my life partner and best friend had to experience what I kind of knew. You know, it's kind of like watching your kids get hurt.
Yeah.
You know it's got to happen. It's awful to watch.
It is.
And I'm sorry you're disappointed, but...
Thank you. Maybe the title of the show should have been Office Space Tears.
So forget about Jill's experience with the Office Space. It happens with, you know... Some people have this thing in their mind about when they've arrived. And, you know, for me, it's been all kinds of stuff. And it almost always ends in disaster because you build it up to be something it's really not.
It's true.
Really what matters is a bunch of dough in the bank and a great person next to you. And that's about it. Those two things.
Like, I wanted to piggyback on what you said about you build it up in your head. It's so true. Because every time I'm like looking, we went to the auto show a couple months ago. And I'm like, wow, look at this car. Look at that car. And everyone, I'm like, oh, maybe I should get one of those. And all you kept saying was, why don't you rent one for a weekend and see? And I'm like, you know, you're right. Like, I got into... I can't remember what it was. Some of these that look the coolest, these really cool sports cars, when you really get into them, they are race cars.
It's awful.
They are not designed for comfort.
Right.
They are so uncomfortable. It's stupid. You really are sitting on the ground, you know, virtually, and climbing in and out of them is hilarious, you know. And so Jack is right. If I really had it, so yeah, it looks great and it churns heads, but... Do you rent one of those race cars for a weekend and you're going to decide that you really probably don't want one. And for my commute, I was thinking about that too. One of the cars I always thought was so cool was a McLaren. And like, where we live in my commute, I would never ever be able to drive it over like 40. Exactly.
Just keep the car in first gear.
So what's the point? And if I go, even if I, get on the freeway, that doesn't make a difference either.
Second gear.
Exactly. I will be cursing at how horrible it is to drive because, you know, so it's just not realistic. If I lived in Germany near the Autobahn, now that would be fun. But we don't.
Some people define their success with the hotness of their spouse.
Wow.
And I love one example of when that actually worked out for anybody.
Goodness. Yeah. I've often scratched my head going, how much fun is that? And, you know, you and I, one of the reasons we have so much fun is we have a lot to talk about, sometimes too much to talk about, but I mean, a lot of similar things with our upbringing and movies and music and things like that. If I was with somebody 20 years older than me and they're saying, hey, do you remember when...
It's funny because I was thinking 20 years younger.
When John Wayne was in X movie and I'd be like, really? You know, I actually know a little bit about John Wayne because of my parents and where we live, but most people would be like, a lot of people go, who is that?
Or if they're 20 years younger and they know all the names of the Smurfs.
Right. Oh, that would be horrible.
Yeah.
That would be horrible.
It would be awful.
That's very interesting. I don't know how we got here on Office Space.
So whatever it is in your head that you think that you've all, you know, you've arrived, keep it there. Keep it in your head. Keep it as a goal. But when it comes time to pull the trigger.
Don't say it out loud.
Don't expect that much. Is that depressing?
No.
I think it's really realistic.
I think it is realistic.
All you really want in the end is a bunch of dough and someone to share it with.
Exactly.
I think.
Don't get caught up. You know what I think for me too? Can I just back up and finish with this? Where we ended up was checked all the boxes. It was, our new office space is nice, not fancy.
Oh, yeah, we did end up with space.
It's clean.
Great space, actually.
It's clean, not perfect. It's got great walkability. We could still ride our bikes there. You know, there's a lot of things. Our staff is happy because they can, you know, there's so much around there restaurant-wise and shopping and, you know, take a little break and go get a coffee. There's three choices really quick to get coffee and lots of good stuff. So
here's the kicker. Mm-hmm. The building owner's the same.
Oh, that's right. You're right.
This guy had no idea what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
The building owner, yeah.
Yeah, it's the same. It just happens to be the same owner.
It's a different agent.
And I had a discussion with him. Let me save everybody else some time. So here's what I did, because Jack let me go through the tears and pain and suffering to get to this point. So when I saw this last space and I met with the broker and walked around, I said, look, okay, here's the deal. Before we even waste anyone's time, I will not sign dual agency. I will not do a personal guarantee. I will provide everything else that you want. I'll give you this, 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 and this, you know, check all the boxes, but those are just my things. And if it doesn't work for you, I get it. We'll just go our separate ways. You know what? He said, that's fine. I get it. And he followed through.
That's why the title of the show is called Grown Up Office Space, because you made a tremendous grown-up decision.
Thank you.
You kind of put your little fantasy aside.
Yeah.
And just looked at functionality and everything else, and you're allowing your bank balance to be your fantasy.
Thank you, Jack.
Which I think is, I'm real proud of you.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
We all have stuff, you know.
You know what? You have to even see office space as a little bit like a line item. That's part of it, too.
That's what it is. You got emotional about it.
You can't. I got emotional about that other space. That was true. I did. I was almost in tears when they pulled the rug out from under me, and it was the broker being a jerk. So I'm like, what the heck? So anyway, it worked out fine. I'm very happy now.
I agree with you on that hepatitis thing, though. You don't want that.
No, I don't want that.
In the office.
Thank you very much.
Well, you've done it again. You spent another 25 minutes listening to the Jack and Jill Show. Join us tomorrow, where we discuss work ethic disappointment.
This is going to be good. And we answer your question, should you have one, posted on jackjill.com.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition.
I didn't mean to rant again about that space, but
I'm just good.
But I like how you brought in that it's a, are you looking at it for the right reasons, is what I heard you say. It's like, do you really need that car, or are you just trying to show off? Come on, everybody.
Yeah, right.
And what you shared with us too, your past experience where you didn't get into it too much detail, but I know, and I'll share that you bought an office building and it did almost sink the ship.
And stuff.
Yeah, and what a thinking. And I can see where you're going with that.
Millions and millions of dollars wasted.
Because trust me, Jack, I've been thinking about this too. As I've been going through the pain of trying to find a decent office space and deal with the right people, my answer was, well, forget it then. I'm going to buy my own flipping building and I'm going to be the boss and I'm going to do it the right way. So I totally,
that's what I did,
understand how you got there, right?
Awful.
But that's, you don't want to be in that situation too, because it's just not fun.
We're in a near perfect situation right now, Jill,
yeah,
with the office space we have and where we live and how we can get there. And more importantly, the people who work with us or work for us, I mean, they can walk wherever they want to get lunch. It's just a real usable office space.
You know what? Even the very, 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 very best possible situation still takes time. It's killing me. It should have been a one-day event, but it was a week event, and I'm still happy with that.
We'll add that to the list of things that I love about you.
Thank you, Vic.
Everything takes too long. I love that.
Hey, share the fun by subscribing on iTunes or wherever you are listening. And while you're at it, please rate us there. We are Jack and Jill.
Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.